This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Man, we're steamrolling into the future here. I just got all this new equipment. I'm trying to learn it all so I can control my music levels when I play music. And did you hear about the other thing that I have now, Andrew, Nicole? Did I tell you about this?
I don't think so.
If we want to get out of middays and do like a wacky morning zoo show, I've built in 8 sound effects now on my new control board.
Oh, yes, you did tell me that.
Yeah, here we go. Here. No, I'm not a sound effect guy. You're not going to. These are the ones that are pre-installed.
Okay, I figured. I'm curious what's pre-installed.
Yeah, I'm not. Look, I'm not a. You know, I'm not a sound effect guy. Okay, here we go. Wait. We have to put that up.
Oh, there's those buttons for you.
Okay, the sad trombone. You got the rim shot. Crickets.
Oh, I like crickets.
Yeah, I might use that once in a while. Get the harp. Mm-hmm. Lame applause. It was record scratching. Is that a record scratching or is that something else?
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be a record scratch.
Like rewind, maybe.
Well, that's pretty lame. Okay, here's the last one. So there you got.
Well,
man, if you think our ratings were good before this, wait until you see the numbers now that we have all this stuff. Oh, wait, I potted it down. I'm never using those again. That's it. I'm done. Let's get into the Fast 15 here, World of News, tidy package, you know. Much snow where you kids were. Andrew, did you get much snow last night?
Yes, I saw last night at about 10 o'clock the weather warning or whatever that came down. Said specifically between Green Lake and Shoreline was supposed to get up to 3 inches of snow. Yeah. And I think that's what we got. By the time I left at 11 o'clock in the morning, it was all melted. It stuck to the roads, but it was all melted, so there wasn't really any.
This isn't like a real snow. Real snow means days of fun to follow.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. However, last night when all day the roads were mostly clear, but I had, you know, a couple inches maybe. I'm right in the convergence zone there in Everett. Mm-hmm. And then last night I went to the gym and I left and it was a storm. It was crazy. I got to use my all-wheel drive off-road mode.
Yeah.
It was fun. And then came out of the gym a couple hours later, and I mean, there was cars that had hit the, you know, don't walk sign, sign thing. I mean, there was a bus that had spun out and was blocking most of the lanes, the Metro bus. It was quite a mess last night. And then I woke up to about 4 inches, but the roads were clear again because it had rained.
Man, all those accidents, that's kind of sad.
I don't know.
Most of those effects I have better versions of, by the way. So
we don't need them.
But anyway, the crazy part, I think the trees and branches breaking. I mean, we've got to do some forest maintenance around here.
I agree.
Lots of dead trees.
I lost power. I woke up about 1 a.m. because, you know, when you lose power, there's that very loud ka-chung sound. And about 1 a.m., the power went out. Ka-chung!
Is it really that loud? I've never noticed it being that loud.
Oh, it's very loud.
Huh.
Yeah. And so I got up, went to the bathroom. Of course, the first thing you do when you go to the bathroom when the power goes out is you turn the light switch on. And then I thought, oh, I must turn on the fan. So then I go to the other switch and flip it.
and then when it comes back on, your bathroom light
everything's
comes on.
Lit up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then Patty Murphy has to go change the clock on her microwave after the power goes out. That's going to be hard for her.
I wonder what logic you can come up with for that.
But this was the shortest power outage in history. So I go to the bathroom, I come back to bed, and the power came back on after 1 minute.
Well, last Lucky night you. When I was driving home, going northbound on the Ship Canal Bridge, on the south side, the lights, the highway lights, the street lights kept turning off and on. Like, they were off for maybe 30 seconds, they turned back on for 30 seconds. Only on the south side of the bridge. The north side was all fine, but they were flickering in a very weird way as well.
Yeah, we were flickering all evening, but I have no idea because I assume when your power goes out that a line is down, a transformer is blown, and then that takes some time to fix. So I have no idea. And if you work for City Light, and by the way, God bless the men and women who work for City Light and Puget Sound Energy and all the companies that, you know, they're out there in the worst conditions trying to get people back up and running as quickly as possible. And you are deeply appreciated. And I really mean that because that's it's tough work. But if somebody who works out there, explain to me how my power could be out for only 1 minute. What made it shut off and how did it restart so quickly?
I mean, they're not a circuit breaker switch that you sometimes can flip.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It would sound like this.
Yes, that's when it goes out. It's ka-chung, not cha-chung.
Well, that's your own sound effect.
My own sound effect. Ka-chung. Let me see. My own sound effect. It's awful.
All right.
I'm going to uninstall it.
Trouble.
No, I can't even reach it. It's too hard.
Anyway, okay, I hope we get more. It's really fun. It's so pretty.
What?
I hope we get more snow. It's fun and pretty.
Me too.
I enjoy it.
Okay. I'm always talking about how the state of Washington is taking away our freedoms. And in so many ways, that is true. The state of Washington is rather obsessed with taking away our freedoms. But I found out something this morning. And I don't know how this pops up on my Twitter feed, but I get a map of the United States that shows state by state the legality of owning a kangaroo. And here's what I found out this morning. So if you live in Wisconsin, West Virginia, or South Carolina, you can own a kangaroo without a permit. Again, Wisconsin, West Virginia, South Carolina. You can just go get yourself a kangaroo. Then there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are only 10 states where you can own a kangaroo with a permit. And I'm happy to report one of those states is Washington. And we're the only one on the West Coast. Oregon, California, you can't have a kangaroo at all. But in Washington, you can have a kangaroo if it is permitted. We join Idaho, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Texas, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maine as states where you can own a kangaroo with a permit. And I got to tell you, that's sounding pretty good to me. I wouldn't mind getting me a kangaroo.
I know somebody that had kangaroos. I never got to meet them. Yes. She was a baseball player's wife. She had a couple kangaroos. And a wallaby, I think.
Did they live indoors or they don't live outdoors, do they?
I think they had an enclosure. I'm not sure how she kept them. I know her, but I never got to meet the kangaroos.
I think that would be fun.
Oh, I think it'd be so fun. There's actually a kangaroo farm in Arlington, and then there's a kangaroo petting zoo thing in, I think it's down by Puyallup somewhere.
When I was in Australia... I saw two kangaroos in a pretty good fight with each other. And, you know, they do the little boxing thing, but then they rear back on their very powerful tails. And when they kick, they can kill. Those hind legs are very powerful, and they can kill a predator or anybody else they're fighting with. They're cool to watch.
I'm excited. I'm going to Australia and New Zealand in a couple months, and I am going to a sanctuary, and I'm looking forward to that. It's like my dream to hold kangaroos and sloth and koalas.
You can hold a sloth?
Well, I don't. Not there. That's just my dream. So I think I have to go to Costa Rica for that one.
Okay.
But the koala bears, yes, and the kangaroos and things like that, yes.
If I begin the permitting process, would you smuggle a kangaroo home for me?
Well, I don't think I'd have to smuggle it if you get it permitted.
That's a fair point. Okay. I'll just get it from that farm. And
I'll pick you up one for sure.
I want to talk to the roo farm. Can we get the roo farmer in Arlington on the show? Let's get him on Friday.
Okay. Well, okay. That might be a little closer to the holiday topic.
Well, no. If maybe somebody will want to give that to a loved one.
You know, if somebody has a kangaroo connection in Australia, I'd love to talk to them.
See, this is what I deal with every single day. When I toss out an idea for the show that Nicole doesn't like, she quickly gives it a dismissive tone, and then she changes the subject. I deal with this like 10 times a day off the air.
Okay, text us and let us know if a kangaroo farmer is what you're looking for on the Dory Monson show.
Yeah, I'd like to get a local kangaroo farmer on and explore the possibility. You know, I've got a very big backyard. I'd like to explore the possibility of getting one.
I've heard they're a lot of maintenance, so it's like a second job or first job.
Yeah. Well, just keeping the pouch clean.
Yeah. You know, my idea was to get an extra week's vacation when I go to Australia and volunteer at a kangaroo sanctuary so that I could get an extra week vacation. We get a week of off time if we volunteer. Mm-hmm. At our work, right? So you can volunteer anywhere. You can volunteer at your kid's school, whatever, and you can get 5 more days vacation, or not vacation, time off, I guess. And so I was trying to do that, but they don't let you volunteer for short periods of time in Australia.
Wait, how long are you going to be gone?
2.5 weeks, but I was shooting for 3.
What am I going to do? For 2.5 weeks?
You'll be in good hands with Chris Martin.
Well, Chris is fantastic. I love Chris. Yeah. But that's a long time.
I've never done this. I've never left work for this long. It's a lot, but my dream has been to go to Australia and New Zealand. So okay. I'm doing both. I'm going to swing through Fiji on my way home, too.
Really?
Yes. It is quite the trip I'm going on.
Are you going to get one of those huts that's out over the water?
Yeah, I looked into it. I'm going to stay at a place that has those, but my budget is not including those.
Okay.
But I'll stay at a place that has them.
Very happy for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the fastest 15 here.
And I'll work on the kangaroo people.
Yeah, for Friday. It's a good Friday topic.
Okay.
Are there any good kangaroo songs? This is the next question, so we can bump in and out of the segment.
I thought about that, but the only one I can think of is that Captain Kangaroo.
Okay.
Right, I think I have an appropriate song. I'll play it at the end of the segment.
Bump us out with it. Thank you. Okay, up next in the Fastest 15, here is where woke scholastics gets us. A professor at the University of San Diego explains and tells every student in advance what their grade is going to be before she's even seen them one day at work.
What's up, y'all? Dr. Purity here, and I'm going to talk to you a bit about how to decolonize a classroom and how I decolonize my teaching. So first things first, we do not grade over here, okay? Anyone who takes my class automatically gets an A. They're told in the first week that they're going to get an A. The only thing that's required is attendance, and I have weeks of excused absences built in so that if people are sick or they...
So there you go. And one other feature of her class, by the way.
Have family obligations. It won't affect their grade. So since I'm not grading them, I'm just giving them A's. Like, how do I know that they're doing anything? And how do I know that they're learning anything? And so I also don't give homework. Surprise, surprise.
Wow. Sounds like she's really working her butt off as a professor at the University of San Diego. So everybody gets an A. There's no homework. And the most strident, hardest working student gets the exact same grade as the laziest, never-open-a-book student. That's a socialist ideal for you right there. And then you have, one of our favorite politicians, because he's always a colorful quote, Senator John Kennedy of Mississippi. He was talking about Joe Biden's energy policy.
I used to have a beagle named Roger. And Roger was a rascal. About every 2 weeks, Roger would run off. He'd always come back, but about half the time, he'd come back dragging roadkill that he would hide under my back porch. President Biden's energy policy looks like something Roger used to keep under my back porch.
I don't know what that means, but I like it anyway. All right, and finally, in the Fastest 15, Dr. Fauci, who retired, he's still in the news every single day, and now he is saying that we should all be prepared after the holidays, after the Christmas season, we should be prepared for schools in America to once again close down.
Coming out of the holidays, should parents expect schools to shut down?
I don't know, Margaret. I'm not sure. When you talk about shutting down schools, there's always the collateral
effects. That's also radioactive.
Exactly. There's always the collateral issue. So you have to balance, and you do it in real time, depending upon the viral load of disease in your region, whether... You know, the upper northeast may be quite different from the southwest, from the Pacific coast, from the upper northwest. So you have to have the local authorities evaluate on a situation by situation basis the potential collateral deleterious effects with the effects of what might happen if you have so many kids getting infected.
Okay, so there's at least the possibility of schools closing down again after the holidays, says America's doctor. Anthony Fauci.
Retired
and all of
doctor.
That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Good call, Andrew. I like the song.
This is like Colin Hay, solo, acoustic guitar, Benahana. What's it called? Benaroya. I saw it at Benaroya Hall a couple years ago. It's fantastic. All right. We are going to check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour. And then Brock Hewitt is going to drop by for his weekly visit. That is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Heward, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, and that's when our buddy Brock Heward, you can hear every morning on 710 Seattle Sports, that's when he drops by for his weekly visit. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Mr. Dory. How are you?
We were talking a little bit off the air that you believe you could make a case that this is one of the greatest few months ever in the history of Seattle sports?
Well, I'm not going to say it will top the experience you and I had in New York City and sure. The parade that followed for the Seahawks. I mean, at that tip of the iceberg, greatest sports moment for me. I was not around in the 70s for the Sonics World titles, and no offense to the Storm and to the Sounders and to their audience, who obviously have, you know, huge support and they've won their championships. Though that was the tip of the iceberg. That was the pinnacle. But as far as the rest of the iceberg underneath the water, I know in 14 years of being on the radio on our station, there has never been a time where Husky football was 10-2 and staring at a Rose Bowl. If USC wins Friday night, they'll go to the Rose Bowl. That the Mariners broke a 21-year playoff drought and won a playoff series and found themselves in the second round of the playoffs. That the Seahawks, who were supposed to be rebuilding and win 5 games and be one of the 10 worst, are actually a playoff contender and traded their franchise quarterback and are going to have the Denver Broncos pick, which right now would be like the number 2 or 3 pick in the draft. And, oh, by the way, the hockey team, that expansion team, just put together one of the best months you can ever put together at 11-1-1.
Wow.
I mean, I just don't think there's ever been as a group a better time in Seattle sports.
Yeah, maybe not. The only other time that comes to mind, and you already acknowledged it, I was very much in the middle of that Sonics championship in 79. We had just gotten Major League Baseball back, and even though the Mariners were awful, but it was still the excitement of having a ball club. The Sonics were about 2 years away. The Huskies with Don James. They won a Rose Bowl in 78. They were a couple years away from competing for national championships. But it's like all together in a compressed couple of month period. You're probably correct about this.
And we were chatting with the play-by-play man of the Kraken today, and he brought this to light, Dory. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to say or out of line to say, well, why? What's one of the contributing factors? And he brought up the point with the Kraken last year being so disappointing that they were in such isolation, that the stranglehold that Mr. Inslee put from a COVID protocol standpoint was as difficult on all of these teams in this state as it was any team in any state. And, you know, you don't have time to bond. You don't have time to eat together, spend time together, develop relationships together. You're in isolation more times than you're in the group by far. You're in masks all the time. You can't even see your teammates' faces. And I do wonder that once that cloud was lifted, it certainly has impacted that hockey franchise in the expansion world more than any other. But for the Huskies in their offseason to train and develop and to grow, for these rookies, for these Seahawks to train and develop to grow, for the Kraken to train, develop to grow, for the Mariners team and some of the new pieces that they brought in, and Julio Rodriguez in particular blowing up and coming onto the scene. I'm not saying that is the major force behind it, but I do think that there is some commonality between all of those teams and the development of players.
Meanwhile, close to where you now reside, there's a football team called the Denver Broncos. And we saw on Sunday defensive teammates screaming in Russell Wilson's face during the game. I cannot remember, Brock, somebody who was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, still relatively young for his position, and going from the acclaim where he was able to, you know, help the Seahawks garner this incredible trade package to a guy that doesn't even look like he belongs out on the football field 1 year later. I've never seen anything like this.
We've seen it in baseball with guys that got off steroids, or maybe you saw the inverse of it, where they were nothing and then they became bigger than life. I mean, physically and literally. So you've seen that blow up and then the air come out of the balloon and then shrink back down to size a little bit. But yeah, not necessarily in football, Dory. The Vin Baker comes to mind, the old Sonic that they had traded for, who the minute he got here was a disaster. Sean Kemp, the minute he left here, put on a ton of weight and had his challenges. Yeah. I think those had to do with some, I think, off-the-court decisions and choices in both of those cases. So, I mean, but nothing like this. Just a season ago, he fought through his broken finger. He was playing great in December. They're winning games. He's a Pro Bowler, which he was like 9 times in Seattle. And, I mean, he can't play this year, Dory. They can't play. They're the worst scoring offense in the history of the Denver franchise, worst in the league. He's gone from top 5 in every statistical category every single year, basically, in Seattle for 10 years to now the bottom 5 of every statistical category.
So I mean, you're a good technical analyst. Why? Why has this happened?
A number of reasons. The team around him is not as good. The coach around him is not nearly as good. The system, instead of playing to his strengths, which is 25 to 30 passes a game, get him on the move, let him create, let him extend plays. It is, you're going to be a prototypical pocket passer playing the shotgun. Everything that people, especially the national ridiculous pundits the last few years, said, let Russell Wilson cook. Let Russell Wilson cook. Pete Carroll's holding him back. No, Pete Carroll in the culture in Seattle knew how to play to his great strengths. And his great strengths were not necessarily between the tackles all the time and in the shotgun. Yeah. So he wanted this. He demanded this. He pushed his way out. He wanted more of it. He wanted to cook. They don't have the ingredients to cook. He can't cook the way that he thinks he can still. And it's been quite a reckoning, unfortunately, for Mr. Wilson.
Grass is not always greener in Denver. So you're doing the Pac-12 championship game this weekend?
Yeah, you want to come to Vegas Friday night?
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, I'll be busy. So.
Can you take a couple days off afterwards? We'll go row the boats.
No, not gonna.
What do you mean, no? Wait, you invited me to come to Vegas? Was it a hollow invitation?
It was a totally hollow invitation.
You didn't mean it. You didn't mean that.
I did not mean that. The minute I opened my mouth, I was like, that's dumb. Take that back.
I think you need me in Vegas. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall in Vegas while you're trying to net. But Brock, this isn't like all those other cities around the country you go to. Vegas is a city that'll eat you up, chew you up, and spit you out if you don't have somebody like me to help you navigate your way through.
It's true. I got a little cash out of the ATM. My play-by-play man, Jason Benetti, is quite a blackjack player, and I'm gonna play blackjack tonight. I will text you and let you know how it goes, and that is it. And then it's prep time and get ready for Pac-12 championship on Fox, 5 o'clock kick Friday night.
Where are you staying?
They are putting us up at the Aria. Is that nice?
Oh, Aria's very nice. It's a fine spot. All right. Well, I'm a little jealous. A little surprised you're going to Vegas without me, but that's okay. I can deal with it.
Yep.
Well, that'd be great. So, and if USC wins this game against Utah, then the Huskies are going to the Rose Bowl, correct?
I think so. I mean, it's not 100% ironclad, but I'd be pretty surprised if that's not the exact path.
Okay, so that should be the rooting interest of Husky fans. Hope that USC beats Utah. All right, have a great broadcast. Thank you for dropping by today.
Thank you, Dory. You too, buddy. And I'll send you pictures, I promise.
Okay, go get them. Brock Heward off to Vegas. And we have, I'd like to know what you think about all this stuff. Text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show, just like those Vegas dice.
Roll down.
Interesting that people continue to just abandon the phony peddling news networks like CNN and MSNBC in droves. They've just announced CNN massive layoffs are expected. Massive layoffs because they have a new boss now. They're no longer going to operate at a loss, just that they can spread Democratic Party propaganda. And so CNN, a lot of people losing their job. But this is the one that was amazing to me. Don Lemon, he went on Stephen Colbert's show on CBS. And Don Lemon had the audacity to say this.
The word on the street is that you guys aren't allowed to be liberal anymore. Is that the case?
I don't think we ever were liberal.
What?
Yes, I don't think we ever were.
That, not me saying that. That's the people out there saying that he's not letting you be liberal anymore.
Okay. So, and then Colbert's, okay, of course you were never liberal. But for him to say that CNN was never liberal is just clownish. Of course. But do you notice Colbert's audience doesn't even laugh at that? Because that's how propagandized and brainwashed they've become. So I guess they believed Don Lemon when he says that.
The word on the street is that you guys aren't allowed to be liberal anymore. Is that the case?
I don't think we ever were liberal.
What?
Yes. I don't think we ever were.
That, not me saying that. That's the people out there saying that he's not letting you be liberal anymore.
Well, I think what Chris is saying is that he wants Republicans, sensible Republicans. He wants us to hold people to account. But he wants people to come on and feel comfortable with coming on and talking on CNN.
And then he went on to say that they want us to get back to what we do best, journalism. And Colbert's audience is glad at that. Journalism. What journalism does CNN do? They hid the Hunter Biden laptop story for 2 years to try to affect a presidential election. They did nothing but lies for 4 years to try to impact a presidential election. Remember Stormy Daniels? Remember the Russian disinformation? Remember the dossier that Hillary concocted but that tried to put off on foreign enemies colluding with Trump? It was all Hillary. Remember Michael Avenatti? CNN had elevated Avenatti to being the next president. They were sure because he hated Trump, and they all hated Trump so much. And anybody who hates Trump that much, of course, should be the next president of the United States. But something funny happened on the way to the White House for Avenatti. He ended up in prison for being such a scum. But they're so delusional. And the lack of any self-awareness is, it's really something to watch on a regular basis. My goodness. All right, let's see. Joe Biden is speaking today. And is there trouble in Biden paradise?
By the way, she spent a lot of time on other reservations.
Oh. She, he means Jill. He's talking about Jill Biden.
Second chances are good.
Wait. Here we go.
By the way, she spent a lot of time on other reservations, other nations as well. I'm worried she's not going to come home one of these days when she goes.
Uh-oh.
You think I'm joking. I'm telling you. If I hear more about the Navajos than I hear about me. you all think I'm kidding, don't you? Anyway.
And then people are still asking about KJP. I played you this soundbite yesterday. But people are still wondering how somebody could be elevated to White House press secretary and have apparently never heard of the Nobel Peace Prize. And this is inexplicable to me. But I saw some more people even on CNN playing this clip earlier today. How do you not know or have never heard, apparently, of the Nobel Peace Prize?
Today, President Biden met with three U.S. winners of the 2022 Nobel Prize.
Nobel, N-O-B-L-E, the Nobel Prize. That's a pretty noble thing to get.
2022 Nobel Prize, Dr. Caroline Bertozzi, who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, Dr. John Clauser, who won the Nobel Prize in Physics, and Dr. Douglas Diamond, who won the Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences.
Nobel. It's all quite noble. It's all quite weird. All right, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then we're going to get into the big lead at 2. I'm getting a lot of feedback from state workers on the text line about a 28-time felon who kept his job at Western State Hospital, even after he was stealing money from patient accounts. And state workers are saying, yeah, I'm not surprised one bit. Pretty interesting feedback. I'll share some of it with you next. Big Lead at 2 here on the Dory Monson Show.